Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What do you think the pro cycling organization decided to do with her membership and placed on the team?
They revoked it?
That's right. Because she's too sexy.
Are there rules against posing in the nude?
Yeah, well, I guess.
Are those in the bylaws of the cycling organization?
Who knew that when she became a cyclist, she wasn't allowed to become a model?
Plus, it brings popularity and intrigue to their industry, does it not?
I don't know.
Aren't you more intrigued at watching a race?
If she was racing naked, yeah,
well,
sure.
Not racing naked.
But I don't think they do that.
No, I'm not even saying that. Because
that'd be like, I'm just saying how the bike is built.
Yeah, that'd be difficult.
You know what I never understood? And we'll get back to your calls here in a second. This is one of these mystery questions of life that really pains me. What's as that? I get older. You've ridden a bicycle. You used to love your bicycle.
I still do.
Right.
Love my bike.
Here's what I don't understand
except
about
when I'm being run over by taxis.
Sure.
But go ahead.
Here's what I don't understand about the build of the bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't the boy's bike not have a bar?
What do you mean?
And the girl's bike have the bar?
What bar are we talking about?
So when you ride a bicycle.
Yes.
Between the handlebars
right.
and your seat.
Yes.
On a boy's bike, there is that bar that goes directly straight across. So if you went forward off your seat,
mm-hmm.
you're going to land with that bar between your legs. That's
yes,
going to hurt.
That will hurt.
On a so-called girl's bike,
mm-hmm.
there is no bar that goes across. It goes diagonally down. You see what I'm saying?
I didn't even know there was a difference between
yeah,
the bikes.
Yeah.
Figured you get a nice bike.
No, not the case.
Mountain bike,
and
road
then,
bike.
That never made any sense to me.
Yeah.
Like the boy's bike should go down diagonally.
To protect your area.
So that if you fall off the seat going frontwards,
right.
you don't fall on a metal bar,
wow.
you know, in between your legs.
Listen, one thing I've learned is when you fall off your bike, Craig, it
yeah.
don't matter. It's going to be really uncomfortable.
I've fallen off once over the front.
Over the front? How'd that happen? You stopped short?
What happened was this.
Yeah, tell me.
I was down in the Keys in Florida
mm-hmm.
at a place called the Chica Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
So there's great fishing off this like 200-foot-long pier. So I love to fish. But I'm on vacation. It's not like I brought my bait and tackle with me because I didn't.
Right.
So there's a place, if you leave the property, and they have these old rickety bicycles that you can just borrow to, you know, ride the bike around
right,
the property
right,
or whatever. Right,
right, right.
If you leave the property and go across the street and up, let's call it a couple hundred yards, not much more, there's a bait and tackle shop. So I figure, all right, let me go there. My kids are all playing on the beach. I sneak out, get on the bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
I go across the street, and I buy 50 live shrimp that you're going to fish with.
Right.
Because the fish there, that's what they eat, right?
Yeah.
So I'm riding the bicycle back.
With the shrimp in tow.
So I'm holding a bucket.
Oh, God.
Okay, and I've got 50 live shrimp in the bucket.
Well, hold on a second. So
yeah.
you've got one hand on the bike.
Yes.
And one hand is off holding a 50-pound bucket
no, not
of
50
shrimp.
Pounds.
Oh.
50 shrimp.
How heavy is this thing?
Well, there's water in it. So, I mean,
it's heavy.
Let's just say 10, 15 pounds.
Right,
like, it's not crazy heavy.
It's still kind of
I
a
can
workout.
Manage it.
All right, good for you.
So
I would not.
I'm on a rickety old bicycle. Like right. There's no gears on it, just an old school get you from A to B bike. I cross the road. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Settle myself. I ride the bicycle back into the Chica Lodge. And I'm maintaining. I don't want the shrimp to fall out of you, jump out of the bucket. It's like a balancing act. And what I didn't see until it was too late, there's a speed bump.
I hate those.
About 10, 15 yards into the driveway for this property. So I'm pedaling along. I hit the speed bump. I fly over the handlebars, head first.
Yeah, yeah.
And I land. My left side, my cheek, slaps against the pavement and bounces up. And all you hear is like thwack.
Yeah.
And my face, literally like a basketball, bounced off the cement.
There's an important question. Yeah. Were you wearing a helmet?
No, you never wear a helmet.
What do you mean you never wear a helmet?
You should never wear a helmet when you ride a bike.
Are you an idiot?
Stupid. I mean, if you're riding in Manhattan, I guess.
Guess?
Yeah. My kids have never worn a helmet riding a bike, nor should they. Come on. We all rode bikes. We're fine.
Oh, my God.
Right? Listen, I know that every now and then there's a terrible accident and a kid gets hurt.
Yeah.
Let your 10-year-olds ride bikes without helmets.
No.
All right?
No.
It's silly to me.
No.
Yeah, put helmets on. Oh, my kid's riding a bike in a cul-de-sac. He's got to put a helmet on? Nonsense.
Yes.
In any event.
I
fly over the front of the handlebars.
Right.
I slap my face on the pavement, break my nose, and all I can think of is I'm alive.
Yeah.
That a car is going to come up the driveway and run me over because you can't see me.
Right.
I'm down on the ground.
I thought you were worried about the shrimp for a second.
And I'm worried about 50 live shrimp
there you go.
That are now hopping all over the driveway. So I somehow crawl myself over to the side into bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a couple guys working on like the property. They don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Good for me, I speak Spanish. So in Spanish, I start asking for help.
How do you say it?
Me ayuda, me ayuda, me ayuda, me ayuda, me ayuda. And thankfully, they came and got me.
What about the shrimp?
The shrimp, we saved 7 out of the 50 shrimp.
That's not a lot. That's not a good percentage.
And did not catch a single damn fish that day.
I was going to say. Yeah. Wait, you still went fishing?
Oh,
after you basically broke your chin?
I made a promise to my kids, we're going fishing. That's right.
I thought you ditched your kids.
No, I ditched them to get the stuff to go fishing with.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Randy's in Sayreville. Randy, good afternoon.
Hey, Craig, a little while ago you talked about Chris Christie and his administration. You would take a job.
I'd like to take a job as an ambassador to, Portugal.
Okay, and you also said $150,000 wouldn't be a pay cut. Come on now.
Okay.
Come on.
I don't know what you think radio is paying these days.
From $2 million to $120 million.
Well, I used to make a lot of money, but they kind of got me over a barrel right about now. Speaking of fish,
I was waiting for somebody to call you.
I don't know what else to tell you. Yes, I used to make a lot of money doing this, and times were good. And then, like a jackass, I threw it all away. That's right.
To the point where taking an ambassadorship job will get you a pay raise.
Yeah, I wanted a documentary so bad I ruined my entire life to get one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, listen, radio is not, you don't go get into radio to make a lot of money. I can tell you that.
That is true.
That I can tell you.
You also don't get into ambassadorships to make a lot of money. You do it for when you leave the job. Then you make the money.
How do you make the money when you leave the job?
Write a book. You do speeches. You become a lobbyist. All that kind of great garbage.
I got offered a pretty good amount of money to write a book, when I got out of prison.
Yeah.
Turn that.
You didn't want to do it?
I mean, I wrote it, but I didn't want to do it.
So you wrote the book.
I wrote a book.
Didn't publish it.
I wrote a book and then decided not to go forward with it.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did write it.
That means you, at some later date, may change your mind.
No, I made a pledge to those who support me the most that it's time to move on from that nonsense.
Gotcha.
Everyone's lived through enough of my, garbage. Why relive it? Why bring it up again? Why make that a story again?
Mm-hmm.
They're very supportive of the gambling show where we're doing it, Saturday mornings at 9:30, because that's me being a better person.
Right.
That's moving things forward. I'm not living in the past. I'm trying to make the future better. But to bring up all the nonsense I was doing back in the day, and they're right, because I was ready to do it. I wrote it. And then I said, they don't want me to do it. I'm not doing it. And they're right to ask that. So
the book you can write is after you are an ambassador to Ireland.
I don't want to
you
be an ambassador to Ireland.
Oh, no Ireland?
No.
You're just going from Spain, the U.K., Portugal,
I don't want to be in the
Italy.
U.K. I want to be... Oh, can you didn't... get Christie on the horn, please? I want Portugal, Spain, or Italy.
How about Mexico?
No.
Why?
Not sure.
Down south, it's warm, it's
there's
beautiful.
Some parts of Mexico that aren't so safe anymore.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that.
So, and I love Mexico. But there's some, I don't know exactly what parts I could be in safely.
So you want a very safe position. You don't want to deal with any kind of
I want to be left alone and just eating gnocchi all day.
Is that like, what, do you think that's what Christopher did or what he did when he was in
the
UK?
Well, I mean, different. He was in London, so right. He's eating fish and sticks or something.
Well,
fish
they're not
and chips,
exactly known for food over there.
No, their food sucks.
Yeah.
But if you go to Portugal, if you go to, you know who once told me to go to Portugal? The former governor of New Jersey, James McGreevy's wife. No, ex-wife now. Dina McGreevy said, you got to go to Portugal
wine.
One day.
What about it?
I don't know. That's where they make port wine, though.
You're not going to Portugal to drink wine.
I think you are.
No, you're not.
I don't like wine, but I like port. It's not wine, really.
Yeah, but you're
it's
not
sweet.
Going to another country just for that.
No, I think you do.
No. You go for the multiple reasons. You go for the sightseeing.
No, I hate that.
You go for...
I don't like that.
What are you doing it for?
Huh? Well, because typically someone's dragging me there. I want to go see Spain. All right.
But you have to admit, once you're doing it, it is kind of pretty, right?
I don't get down with all that.
No?
Because once you've... Like, I lived on cobblestone. I lived down lower Manhattan.
Right.
Once you've walked on a cobblestone street,
yeah,
you've seen every cobblestone street in the world. I'm not, you know, aroused by that type of... Oh, look, 500-year-old rocks. Great, they're rocks.
I mean, that stuff would be kind of cool. The problem is it worth flying 7 hours for?
No.
That part I agree with you on. But if you could teleport me there, yeah, it'd be interesting.
It's never worth it. By the way, there's a big brouhaha yesterday with this Baseball Hall of Fame voting because I suggested that Brian Costello and, for that matter, Andrew Marchand and I guess Larry Brooks, got to add him to the list. You know, these are guys that don't cover baseball. So why are they allowed to vote? And if they take the vote so seriously,
they covered the
why
guys
don't they, when you know, they give up their vote?
When they covered baseball, they covered the guys that are eligible to be voted on now.
To me,
does
it's
that
ego.
Not work for you?
It's ego.
But that doesn't work for you?
It does not.
They covered the guys that they're voting on.
I get it. Listen, I understand that's always their argument. Right. Well, you know, for 10-plus years, I covered the Yankees right. or the Mets or whatever. But you don't now. So who knows how much you've paid attention to the sport or, you know, other guys as they've retired. You did cover guys 20 years ago, whatever the amount of number is. But I decided that here's one of the problems with the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's the people that do have the responsibility to decide who gets in. And I think there's such an ego around the fact that they have this vote that they're not willing to give it up for the greater good. For example, does it make any sense to you at all that Andrew Marchand, who covers sports media, has a vote for the Hall of Fame, but, I don't know, let me think, Harry Rose doesn't? Or Gary Cohen doesn't, or pick any announcer, you know, that does these games,
mm-hmm.
who travels with and sees every guy play uninterrupted.
Right.
Does John Sterling have a vote for the Hall of Fame?
No.
I don't believe he does.
No, it's just writers.
Does Susan Waldman have a vote for the Hall of Fame?
No.
So how can you possibly defend guys that do not cover the sport on a regular basis have a vote today, but people that do cover the sport today don't have a vote? And that's my only argument. I'm not suggesting that Costello or Marchand or Brooks or any of these other guys don't take it seriously and don't put thought into who they think truly belongs in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that they're being cavalier about it at all. I want to make sure that's clear. What I'm saying is that if you value the vote, you should give the vote up.
No, that part
you're
wrong
about.
Because
you shouldn't have it.
No, the first part you're right about. I would love a system.
Ego.
That involves, no, they're being given something.
They should give it back.
No, that's not how this works.
Ego.
If the system is broken,
I don't think it's necessarily broken.
No, it is. Well, you just said it, so I'm repeating your thought.
I think people have to take stock of, I had it when I covered the sport.
No.
I don't cover the sport.
No, it's not their responsibility.
I should give it back.
It's not their responsibility.
Because they're egotistical monsters.
No, they're not monsters. I mean, maybe in some cases they are, but the system should change in that a guy like Howie Rose, John Sterling, Susan Waldman, bloggers now, they should have a right to vote too. I would want it to be a multitude of thought that get to decide this. The gatekeepers should not strictly be writers. But it's ridiculous to suggest that a writer, whether they deserve that vote or not, should take it upon themselves to say, no, I'm not going to take this vote. Why? Because it's not their responsibility.
It's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be about you. It's supposed to be about the
about
Hall of Fame.
Them. It's not about them.
So
when the Hall of Fame changes their system, when they decide,
which is not going to happen,
it's never going to happen. Right. It's always going to be the writers and the gatekeepers. When they change that and they change who is voting, that's a great day. But until then, I'm not going to blame Brian Costello for using his vote.
Well, now see, I think what you said makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
One of the problems that baseball has is they've not evolved as the world has evolved in a lot of ways. So, yes, whether it be bloggers, websites, you know, there are well thought of digital baseball experts and
100%.
People. And well thought of TV announcers and well thought of, you know, radio broadcasters, et cetera, that do cover the sport, that can make an educated assessment of who belongs in the hall and who doesn't. And I don't know who runs it. Like, the Hall of Fame is independent, is it not?
Yes.
Like, baseball doesn't run it.
No. The museum runs it.
Right.
And
so,
they have the writers deciding it. So that's how they've had it.
So they're part of the problem.
Yes.
Right. I'm not blaming the writers that they've been given this independent.
You are blaming the writers.
No, you just blame specific writers saying
they should give the vote up.
If I may, sir, I'm not blaming the writers en masse. I'm not saying that some writers shouldn't. I believe writers should have the right to vote.
I agree.
But
some writers.
I do believe that once you are no longer actively covering the sport, you should do the right thing if they don't ask you.
No.
And the right thing should be is, Mr. Idelson, is that how you pronounce
his name?
Jeff
Idelson, yeah.
Jeffrey Idelson, hi.
Jeffrey.
My name's
Ooh.
Craig Carton. Yeah. I used to cover baseball for the Daily News or the Post. I no longer cover baseball. Here are my credentials.
No.
Please give them to somebody who does cover the sport.
No, because the point
but they
that
won't
a lot
do that
of these ex-writers...
egotistical monsters.
I don't think it's egotistical. What kind of ego trip do you get out of? By just voting for the Baseball Hall of
Fame. I'll tell you what it is.
What, that you posted on Twitter?
Yes.
Come
the New York
on.
Post has a whole article today about how our 11 writers voted.
Well, that's the Post using those that vote as a, hey, check out our article.
I'll give you
that's
one better.
That's not the ego of the individual writers.
I'll give you one better, sir.
Go ahead,
how
sir.
About the fact that Loudmouth Marchand,
yes.
What did he do yesterday?
I don't know.
He attacked me.
Yeah, he did.
Because of my opinion, because I didn't know all the rules of the Rule 5 draft.
That was weak. He shouldn't have done that.
Right?
Who cares?
Because that's the attitude, though.
Yeah.
The attitude is, I vote, you don't, therefore I'm better. Better than you.
So you well in that
that's
case,
what it is.
In that case, you're giving me one example. I think he showed a little bit of ego and arrogance towards you. That was a mistake. He got into that little
Which,
Twitter
you know what
fight.
That means though.
What does that mean?
It also means that he's not covering us objectively.
That's a different story.
That's what it means.
But for any other writer, even if they're covering hockey now, or they're covering the NFL now, it's not their obligation to hand the vote back. But yeah, I think the response that he had to you was a little bit ego. Like to say you don't know the Rule 5 draft, that's what I'm here for, all right? Don't worry about it. I got you, pal.
Right.
You want to break down the Rule 5 draft? We'll do it. We're never going to do it, but we can do it.
Like I need to know the Rule 5 draft to know whether or not I have an opinion on Barry Bonds being in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And well, Tommy, what did you want to say?
Oh, nothing.
You're looking at me like you're eager to say something. Say it.
This is bad for Target them, but I'm like, you're Ed McMahon, you know? I'm like laughing along with you. I was bobbing my head.
Oh, okay.
I was giving you the...
Right
on. That's all.
Good. Okay. You could have gone Andy Richter.
Yeah, that was a terrible...
Could have gone Andy Richter on that. Didn't go Andy Richter. Could have gone Andy Richter. Could have gone, oh, you're the funny guy at the Roots that laughs at everything Jimmy Fallon says. Right? Questlove, the drummer. But you didn't do that either. You know
I loved Andy Richter back in the day.
Did you?
Oh, I did. I thought he was great. He added a lot to Conan.
You were a Conan guy.
I was a Conan guy, man. Conan was awesome.
Yeah, I never got Conan.
Remember the bear that used to...
No.
How do I clean this up?
Never watched C-Mac? Conan.
The bear that enjoyed...
Stop. Family show, dude.
Shock Jock.
Family show, please.
I didn't say anything. I said the bear.
And by the way...
What?
After yesterday's show, I hope you learned your lesson.
What'd I do?
We're a family show. Mm-hmm. You should be able to listen to our show in the car and not worry about what Evan Roberts is going to say.
Bleep you out.
I saw half the videos we put out yesterday. We're bleeping our words.
Guys at Digital had to work overtime just to edit these things out.
This is all your fault. You're the bad influence. Don't put it on me.
Oh, it's me.
All you.
Okay.
You even said it yesterday. I think a quote from Craig Harden was, did you ever call Joe a blank? And I said, no. Nope. So there you go. That's the proof.
You wanted to.
Rub your finger against that area.
See? You have really fallen off the
wagon.
Out
of context.
Here's Justin in South Hempstead. Justin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is the best show on the radio, and it's not even up for debate.
All right.
But I have a way to improve it even better.
Wow.
I want your opinion on this, Craig, and Evan as well.
But less so me, based on the way you said that. More so Craig, a little bit of me, but mostly Craig. Go ahead.
Well, because Evan, you had the most epic theme song with Joe.
Right.
Prior to this show.
Okay.
Was, number one in the world. I want a theme song for this program, and I think the listeners should be putting their input in and maybe have a bit of a contest, perhaps, and see who has the best, do some voting, social media involved. I think we're, because you said it's a family show, and I'm thinking of all these family sitcoms like Full House, Family Matters, but great theme songs that got you into the program.
Do you not like the theme song that we use now?
No.
Well, that's not a theme song. Really.
Well, but it's the song that intros our show. It may not be a theme song, but it is the song that we use to open up the show. So I'm just curious, as a fan of the show, Justin, do you not like that?
No, it, you know, when I think of a theme song, it needs to tell me everything about it.
Like gotcha.
First Prince of Ballet, I know what the whole series is about just from that first 30 seconds.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have
the facts of life.
The facts of life in a world never seen.
Really? You got them all?
To be living up to your dreams.
Now, whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there's a heart to hold on to. Everywhere. It's Full House. I'm lost.
Wow.
I tried.
All right. He gave it a shot. All right, Justin, listen. We're going to have an executive meeting about that right now. Big Mac, do we need a theme song, yes or no?
Need no, but we could use one. That would be fun. We don't need one. We don't need one.
We give no answer.
You just what?
I said we don't need one, no.
But it would be good if we had one.
Do you want a theme song or not?
Want? Yeah, sure, I want one.
Okay. Tommy, you want a theme song?
I do.
Okay.
Wow.
Why don't you guys start working on it and get back to us in a couple weeks and see what you come up with. All right?
Sure.
I'll give you one of my favorites.
I'll take my answer back.
Did you watch Showgirls or no?
I did.
Yes.
Several times.
Of course. What type of dumb question is that?
I'll make sure.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
You don't even look like the same guy.
I was thinner.
Much thinner.
Well, that was a much thinner.
Well, you were much thinner.
Much thinner. I'm losing weight.
Are you?
I boxed 9 rounds last night.
That is pretty cool.
I was 1-1-1.
There was a draw involved in your virtual boxing?
Yeah, it was draw. Pissed me off.
And what it, like, how do they decide? Like,
I don't know.
There's computer judges that have a scorecard.
How many hits you take? How many hits you land on the guy?
When you get hit in the virtual boxing, what does it feel like?
Well, you're not actually getting hit.
No, I obviously.
Doesn't feel like anything.
They don't give you a vibration?
No, the screen gets blurry because you're dazed. And then you have to protect yourself.
So you can't see anything.
Well, you can see, but you're dazed.
Don't you think?
So gloves up, and then when you clear, pop, go, oh, there goes my ring.
you throw your ring so easily, man.
Because I'm losing weight.
Oh, that's why.
I'm 3 pounds away from my first plateau goal.
Oh, nice. Good for you.
Of 210.
And how are you losing weight? By boxing. The boxing?
Yeah, man, I box.
Because you're certainly not cutting down on the food.
I box. You got to box.
Don't you think, tell me if I'm wrong, because I haven't played this yet, and I want to. I'm interested now in this virtual boxing thing. Don't you think it would be cool that when you get hit, it vibrates a little bit?
No.
Why?
I don't want to get hit.
It's not a real
hit. That's
why
I'm virtually boxing.
No, look, you're not getting punched in the face, but you're feeling something. It's like when you're playing one of those car games.
But you're not wearing a headgear.
I thought you were wearing the Oculus.
Well, you're wearing the Oculus, yeah. So you think the Oculus should vibrate?
Just vibrate, yeah.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's not a bad idea.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
I think it would add to the realness of the boxing. That you take a hit, it's not, it's just a little blurry. You take a little bit of a hit.
By the way, I would still do it. I don't mind that.
No. It adds to the experience.
Yeah.
You're really boxing now.
My wife sent me that photo. That's why you got to take pictures of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You got to document your entire life. You know what I mean?
Did you ever watch a show called Black Mirror?
Did I see Black Mirror? I don't know. I saw, was that the one with the invisible thing that killed everyone?
It may have been. Every episode is like a different story completely.
Oh, no,
then
completely. I didn't see it. What was the one on, it was like the biggest thing out, like maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and it was like this unseen, evil kind of energy, and the only way to protect yourself from it was to have your eyes closed. If you saw it...
Huh. Oh, Bird Box.
Bird Box. That was so stupid.
Sandra Bullock.
So it was a Netflix movie.
Netflix,
yeah.
Sorry.
Not the same.
Not Black Mirror.
No,
I
Black
apologize.
Mirror was
I
this,
saw Bird Box.
That was good.
Black Mirror was like this high-tech sci-fi in the future, but every episode's a different show completely. And there was one episode where you got something in your eye, okay?
Okay.
It records everything you see. So at the end of the day... Everything you see, you can go back and have. So when you say you got to take a picture of everything,
Yeah. Wouldn't
that be kind of cool? It's also a little freaky. It's also a little scary. But wouldn't it be kind of cool if everything you see is recorded? Hence, therefore, I could go back to the first week of January and find the lost tapes of you saying the Jets would never get Deshaun Watson.
If everything you ever laid your eyes on was stored somewhere.
Correct.
Like, kind of like Truman Show-esque.
Yes, in the cloud, but it's your vision. So like right now, if you recorded me looking at you, it would see my hand moving because I'm talking
with
my hand.
That could be very dangerous too, though.
Of course, it turned out to be dangerous in Black Mirror.
The more I'm thinking about that, you don't want that. You can't.
Is the good outweigh the bad, though?
I hope the good outweighs the bad.
So then isn't it worth it?
I don't know. And you can. How do you recall it, though? Like you push up a button.
I guess there's a button. You know, you go to the cloud and you say, okay, what day do I want to look at my visions from?
Oh, you do. Oh, yeah, it's dated.
Yeah, so now you're like, oh, January 2nd. Let's see what happened that day. Oh, look, I did. Oh, I got to get rid of this.
So I think the first thing I would do, I would go to January 31st on my birthday.
Okay.
On my actual birthday.
Oh, you're the birth?
Would
you
wanna
see what you saw?
Yeah.
You don't want to see that, bro.
Yeah.
You want to see that?
Well, those are different times. You know, the Brazilian hadn't come into favor yet. So I might have thought I was lost in a forest. Get me out of here.
Don't pin this on me now, Craig. I said nothing. Nada.
Things have changed.
Zilch.
Times have changed.
Yes, they have.
Here's Sean in Pompton Plains. Shawnee, what's on your mind? What's up?
How we doing? Listen, my buddy right here, 9-year-old fan of yours, wanted to say something to you, but first time I've ever gotten to speak to you guys, so thanks for having our call.
How old is your 9-year-old?
<He's>... Well, what? Christian, go ahead and talk.
All right, so...
Hold on, time out. Don't we greet each other first? Hi, Christian, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, Carton. Hi, Roberts. I'm a big fan.
Okay, hi. Sounds good.
So you instead of enjoying the
wanted to tell you that you had to go to the Costa del Sol in Spain, period, stop. If you're gonna go anywhere, you need to go to Costa del Sol.
All right, let me put Christian back on the phone. Christian, what is your favorite part of Costa del Sol in Spain?
My dad says the women.
My kind of 9-year-old.
Well, Sean, call me in 19 years, and we can go check it out together, okay?
Love it, man.
All right. Thanks for the call, guys. Appreciate it. That's see? That's a father-son relationship.
That's right.
There you go.
It's a family show. Like
you and Jet one day.
Oh, yes.
My dad says the women of Mexico are the finest women on the planet.
Yes.
There you have it. Of course, on Twitter right now, everyone is now using the photo of my beat-up face from going over the handlebars down in Florida and hitting the cement, you know, to have fun at my expense.
As they should.
As they should.
Yeah, of course.
And what did I write? I go, I didn't think that by putting that photo out there, but of course, I got a sense of humor, so go right ahead. So let's see. So far. And listen, I appreciate other people trying to defend me on this. Don't. It's all right. Jeff Passan hits hard.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Please. Grab him right by the ears and swing him around the room. Let's see. Craig's bookie came to see him. Okay.
I knew that one was
coming. Not a problem. In quotes, I fell. Well, that's a domestic violence joke. That's a weak one, Tom.
Come on, Tom.
Tom, that's a weak one. Bring back Beningo. Okay.
He doesn't want to be brought back.
Matter of fact, that's got, that's actually an independent one that's got nothing to do with the photograph at all. Sorry about that.
You have a nice shaped nose.
Yeah, someone said you have a nice shaped
nose. Well, my nose is a broke. I broke my nose on that one. Yeah.
There's another bookie one. Okay.
Well, I figured that. I didn't think of it when I put it out there, but as soon as the first one came in, I go, oh, boy, here we go. But all good. You got to be able to laugh for yourself a little bit as well, so I have no problem with it.
You know, oh, this one's I mean,
trying to get a little more creative than making gambling references. I mean, it's out there. It's done.
You knew, but you...
Yo, yeah. Bravo. We could do better.
Was it Kung Pao Shrimp? Did you see that one?
No, but, you know.
Yeah.
What, I got karate kicked for making Chinese jokes now? Is that what's happening? Racist.
I did notice one thing, and I appreciate it.
Here's a good one. Here's a
what?
Good one.
What?
Francesca wanted his time shot back.
That's a good one. That's I didn't see one. That one.
Here's a Joe in Jersey on the fan. Joseph, good afternoon. How are you?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
So, I am a father of five kids. I wanted to probably run away every single day of my life since COVID, so I completely understand that.
Right.
But on the other side of things, I 100% agree with Craigie. If you do not write about baseball, you should not be deciding who can and cannot go into the Hall of Fame.
You know what it's weird about
it? You guys should ask a player. Yeah. Ask what they think next time you speak.
Joe, you know what's weird about it? And I listen, there's 414 guys who vote, so clearly I'm not saying this about all of them. For some of the guys... You almost get the sense that there's like this weird God complex that they control and can dictate, you know, the future for the whatever amount of guys are eligible each year to get in. And that's what I think ranks people the wrong way sometimes,
well,
too.
Look, I thought, and I like Tom Verducci, but I thought that video MLB Network produced was the most sanctimonious, arrogant thing I've ever seen. And I don't even blame Tom because he probably didn't put it together, but this whole, you hold the weight of history in your hands.
Yeah.
That kind of fits what you're saying. But here's the big difference I have, probably with our last caller, but definitely with you. That's not on the individual to decide. That's on the Hall of Fame to decide. Don't tell the writer, you owe it to all of us to return your ballot. Give me a break.
I
disagree. As long as you're given that right, you could take advantage of it. But that doesn't mean I don't agree with you that the system should change.
Yeah, there's multiple arguments in there.
Yes.
Yeah, we all agree that the system should have evolved as the media has evolved, as technology has evolved, as
absolutely
the manner in which the sport is covered
100%.
Has evolved. So we're on lockstep on that.
Now, do me a favor. Do me a favor.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'm doing this to you. You've
Bernie
done it
Sanders
to me.
Sanders is now sitting on my shoulder.
Well, you knew that was coming, too.
So is a very large, well-endowed man.
that one. Tonight, when you get home after you're done boxing, and I want to thank Michael Fox on Twitter for giving the info.
All right.
Black Mirror, Season 1, Episode 3. Just watch it.
Season 1, Episode 3.
Season 1, Episode 3, Black Mirror. It's exactly what we're talking about, where you record everything.
All right, well, you have to remind me about that later, because I'm not going to remember.
You can't write it down?
No.
I
can write it down. Then I'll forget the piece of paper I wrote it on.
So what do I have to do? I have to nag you about it?
No, just text me tonight.
Yeah, but that's nagging. I don't want to nag you.
You're not nagging me. I'm asking you to do it.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I'm asking you to do it.
Halftime of the Nets game, I'll do it.
Tommy finally got sick of you interrupting the top 5 at 5. Let's see. Someone slapped you in the face with a side of prosciutto.
I would have liked that, though.
Would you? That would have been good, actually. Does your broken nose hurt? Not now. This happened like 7 years ago. That's an old picture. I bet you that's 7? What year was this? 2021?
2021, yeah.
I bet you that's 5 or 6 years ago, that picture. That's why I'm a little thinner.
Mm.
You can actually see my jawline in that picture.
Yeah, you do.
I'm working to get that jawline back. Are you with me, Big Mac?
Getting your jawline back? I don't care.
Here's Pat and Merrick. Pat, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
What's up?
Hey, Evan, I do believe it's about the righties.
What do you mean?
Making about themselves. Because when you get guys like John Heyman that come on your radio station
mm-hmm.
and tell you they're not voting for guys like Albert Bell because he wasn't a good guy, that totally defeats the purpose of them having a vote.
Well, I agree with you. The problem is this whole morals clause, which I don't buy. I mean, I would vote for someone if they're a Hall of Fame worthy player, but when you're dealing with 450 different individuals, they're going to have a different criteria and things that they're going to hold against players. Of course it's ridiculous. Who cares if Albert Bell was a bad guy to the media?
Is that what John Heyman said? That's why he didn't vote for Albert Bell when he was eligible?
In fairness, our argument with John over the years about Albert Bell seemed to evolve. I think at first he may have mentioned that. Then he started trying to argue it based on the merits. I don't even remember anymore why he didn't vote for Albert Bell.
But every John Heyman, there's a plethora of other guys who do the same exact thing.
Sure. Well, listen, we know for a fact that there are guys that are making decisions on morality when they're deciding whether or not to vote for guys eligible for the Hall of Fame and not making those decisions solely on, you know, the stats, the numbers, and who the guy was in the grand scheme of the rest of the guys he performed against.
Greg, the problem is, even if you include what we both recommended, bloggers, broadcasters, the same thing's going to happen. Like, you're going to get a broadcaster who says, I didn't like that guy. I'm not voting for that guy.
Well, you know, I remember one of the biggest guys that happened to was...
Jim Rice?
Jim Rice was one, and there was another guy with the Orioles who I'm blocking on right now, but let's use Jim Rice. That, you know, there were writers who were not not afraid to say, the guy was a jerk to me.
Right.
Every time I covered in one of his games... He was inaccessible, he was a bad guy, blah, 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 blah. This is my chance to get him back, that type of mentality. Now, you can't stop a guy from feeling that way. I guess you have to appreciate the honesty. But if, you know, this is such a silly argument because we've been through it so many times. If you're making decisions on morality, half the Hall of Fame would be empty.
Of course.
Make decisions based on... When the guy started his career to when he ended his career, how did he perform against his peers? A period stop. And by the way, Maggie, that's kind of mine.
Oh, she stole it from you?
I'm being told that that's being used in other day parts.
Oh, is that true?
You know, I kind of have ownership of
that. Isn't that a compliment, though?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, listen, is it a compliment that the morning guys still do Moment of the Day the way I invented it?
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know, I'm asking you. Is that a compliment?
We couldn't change the manner in which we phrase it or say it. So is that a compliment? I don't know.
You know what? It is a compliment because think about this, Craig. To the contrary.
What?
The middays do nothing that Joe and I used to do.
Well,
so clearly they had no caring about us. We're just dead.
There you go.
So in other words, take it as a compliment. You left that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Mark.
Mark!
I love the mark.
On the mornings, and even Maggie, that they want to use some of the things that you do.
Even when they end the show, they end it the way I invented.
So it's a compliment, right?
I guess.
The Stay Classy.
How's that?
Oh, Stay Classy.
Morning show.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the midday show does what you guys used to do. Like, Joe, we can't thank you enough. Anyway, thank everybody. Moose does that.
We should end the show the way Mike used to eulogize people.
How's that?
You're not that good. You could have been better.
Horace Clark, you stunk. Rest in peace.
We'll come back tomorrow. Albert Bell's not the guy I'm thinking of. There's a guy on the Orioles that I
was on the Orioles.
There was. I remember.
And you felt he was punished.
No. I remember. It's not my opinion on it. I remember reading story about a. He may even be in the Hall of Fame now. There was a guy on the Orioles. And the story was, why isn't this guy getting in, you know, his first or second ballot? And the answer was something along the lines of, the writers don't like him personally.
The only one I could think of Jim in that Rice, regard is Ed... No, he said Orioles. The only guy I was thinking of is Eddie Murray wasn't very popular.
I think Eddie Murray's the guy.
But I thought Eddie Murray got in right away. Did he have to wait to get in?
You'd have to tell me.
You know what? He may have waited 1 year. I think that may have been the case. We have to look that up because Eddie Murray, who was... Now, listen, he's an all-time great. He had 500 home runs. He had 3,000 hits. Very few guys can say that. Switch hitter,
Murray got in his first year on the ballot.
Yeah, so it wasn't him, but he had a reputation as not being nice to the media, but it didn't hurt him if he got it on the first ballot, which I figured he did because he had 3,000 hits and 500 home runs. So I don't know who you're thinking of.
I'm cheating now because I'm reading this on Google.
Go ahead.
The question was, when Eddie Murray first became eligible, there were some writers who said, I won't vote for him because... But he ultimately got enough votes to get in. But there was a very public conversation of, do writers make it personal? And apparently there were some guys who did not vote for Eddie Murray.
Because
who admitted,
of that, right.
Listen, I'm not arguing that he's a great player, but the guy was, you know, he didn't treat me right.
Right.
He didn't talk to the press. He wasn't an autograph guy. And all these other things, you know. But he ultimately got,
but he got in,
so
he got in right away. You know who that may have affected in a different way? Roberto Alomar, because of the spit.
Sure, I'm sure that turned people
Because I think he got in on the second ballot, if I'm not mistaken. Not that that matters. If you get in, you get in. Who cares what ballot you're on?
Yeah, no one ever says to you, like, you know, 20 years after you're a Hall of Famer, hey, by the way, which ballot did you get in on?
No, I'm already forgetting, honestly. Right. You're a Hall of Famer.
And let me tell you something. Every one of those guys, and I get it, they can't wait for the first time they sign their name and write H-O-F and the year.
Right.
They love it.
Of course.
As they should.
Great
as
honor,
they
man.
Should.
It's a great honor.
As they should. Yep. As they should.
As
they,
of course.
You think you'll be in the Radio Hall of Fame one day?
No.
Why not?
Why would I be?
Lengthy career in the number one market radio?
Am I a compiler? I mean, I don't know how it's
You would
rated.
Be the definition of compiler.
I've been compiling.
Evan Roberts, a beloved compiler.
Right. Will you make the Radio Hall of Fame?
Not anymore, I won't.
You think it's all gone now?
I think I've tarnished my legacy.
Yeah, but if we get to and have great success in Afternoon Drive, you would have pulled something off that's very rare in the industry.
Well, it's only been done once.
Which is, it's only been done once. Right. By Howard, right?
Yes.
Okay. Number one in mornings, number one in Afternoon Drive. So think about that for a second. If that's pulled off, you would join Howard Stern. That's like joining Babe Ruth. Oh, I did it again. We got a Babe reference.
Babe Ruth, there you go.
That's like, so you'd have to be a lock unless they treat you like Bonds. You think you're going to be treated like Bonds?
I don't know. I don't really think about it. I used to think about it, but then I figured I ruined it. So I don't think about it as much anymore.
So you're Bonds.
Because I remember, you know, Boomer got into the New York Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
Right.
And sent me a very nice note that I was partially responsible for him getting inducted because of the 10-year run we had here.
Of course.
But, I didn't get invited to that, but I was also in prison at the time. So I guess my invitation got lost in the mail.
Well.
I suppose. You know what the thing was? I actually felt bad for Gio. So at the induction ceremony, which I was clearly not at, but you know, people told me what happened. Boomer shared it with me.
Right.
They, I guess they put up a, like an introductory video of some of the highlights of your career as a broadcaster.
Right.
You know, unless you're only on radio without a TV deal or whatever. You know, they'd play audio, like your hits or whatever. And I guess the station has to provide it. So when they introduced Boomer, it was all Boomer and Cart and stuff.
Right.
And Gio's sitting there like, oh, really?
I was going to say, was it all you saying something funny and Boomer laughing?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the whole line.
It was like a 3-minute Boomer laugh track.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's it. That's right. That's right. But he got in, so I'm happy for him.
That may be what I have to deal with. When you get in the Hall of Fame, it may be a Boomer and Garden laugh track.
It's about time Boomer got into a Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's, see, what? Why?
Why
is that necessary?
What?
Is that necessary?
Well, Boomer's been taking some shots at me for my fandom of one Tom Brady.
Well, you deserve those shots.
Speaking of which, where's my jersey, Tommy?
Tomorrow.
It's here tomorrow?
I've been told tomorrow by the guys over at Fanatics. Yep.
Fanatics sent me a jersey.
I have to admit, last night, right before I went to bed, I was checking Twitter, and this guy made a really compelling case on why I should root for Tom Brady with you. And he hit me right where it counts. He whipped out the enemy of my enemy is my friend card and said, you know that Belichick hates Brady. You know Brady hates Belichick. Remember, Evan, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I gave it thought. I thought about it as I showered.
Did
I was like, this
it?
Is...
Because at the end of the day, who do you really dislike the most? You dislike the franchise that, you know, competes against your franchise.
Here's the
so
problem.
If you're going to list hatred, it should go in a normal world.
I agree.
Patriots won, then Belichick.
I completely agree.
Then Brady.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I walked past Zach Gelb, who works here, works at the CBS Sports
Network.
Zach
Gelb of the 3-hour monologues. Go ahead.
What does that mean? You don't like Zach Gelb's monologues now?
I do like Zach Gelb, but he's got to stop monologuing.
Now, you don't like monologuing?
I do not like
monologuing. You're making fun of me for monologuing, McMonagle for monologuing. What do you want?
I have an opinion, state the opinion, react to the opinion. Let's go.
Okay. Anyhow.
37-minute monologue.
Right. Well, I know it caused me to stay on hold for 51 minutes as I was trying to get through to
mock McGonagall. That's who was on the air when you tried to mock him?
No, it was C-Mac, not Gelb. Oh. The point is, Zach Gelb's a Patriot fan. And I asked him, I said, are you rooting for Brady? And he said, of course. That's the problem. Most Patriot fans are rooting for Tom Brady.
Zach Gelb's a Patriot fan?
Oh, yeah, big Patriot fan.
That's I'm calling
obnoxious Patriot fan. No, yeah. He's a Patriot fan.
No.
Well, you don't think he's a real Patriot fan?
No, I don't.
I've seen him in Patriot garb for like 12
years. That's just because he, hates his parents.
Oh, you think that's where it came from?
Yeah, he's rebelling.
Well, he's been rebelling for a while, man.
Well, because once you go in, you got to be all in.
So he's all in?
You can't come back. And by the way, what have the Jets given him to come back to anyway? You know what I mean?
But you just described Craig, you just described the fan.
No.
That's what you just described.
Trust me. Giants, Patriots, he was wearing a Phil Simms jersey. And probably had an Eli Manning, a footsie pajamas on. 877-337-6666. Now this Eddie Murray thing, let me read this real quick. Maybe he was the second ballot, Evan.
Oh, maybe. Okay. It's amazing would be second ballot because he had 3,000 hits and 500 home
runs.
Eddie
Murray, the only switch hitter with 500 home runs and 3,000 hits, was elected to the Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility.
Yeah, okay.
Gary Carter got in that year as well. Mm-hmm. They were the only two that got in. Yeah. All right? They're the only that particular year.
Right.
And that's... who the hell knows when that was?
2003.
Whatever you say.
And he got 85% of the vote. So he got in by a decent margin, but it's not like he got 90% of the vote. And again, 3,000 hits, 500 home runs.
You know, it's funny
the media hurt him, though. You're right overall with your point.
Yeah.
The media didn't like Eddie Murray. Eddie Murray did not enjoy a friendly relationship with the John Haymans of the world. And I don't think there's any doubt that he lost votes because of that. You're right.
There was a good reason for that, too. He didn't trust a lot of the media.
Yeah, that's
because no one was there to have his back when he was dealing with racial slurs and being called names and this and that. So I get it completely.
And I'll say this, as a kid, and then my dad told me a story. He met Eddie Murray twice. Couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Eddie Murray.
Just because he wasn't talking to the media doesn't mean that he was mean to everyone. He wasn't like a mean guy.
How about this? Eddie Murray gets in. Mm-hmm. All right. On the day he's supposed to bury his sister.
Oh, wow.
And the media starts, calling and calling and calling. So he had to put out a statement. Unfortunately, I cannot speak with you today because of the passing of my younger sister, Tanya, after her long-fought battle with kidney disease. Although I dedicated my professional career to the game, I've dedicated my life to my family. Well, that's so well said.
Very well.
That is well said.
One thing about Eddie Murray, he was always a class dude.
The elation I feel by being recognized for my achievements on the field is overshadowed by the anguish of losing someone so dear to me.
It's heartbreaking.
That is poignant right there, boy.
It's heartbreaking.
Is he alive still?
Yes.
I'd like to talk to Eddie Murray.
You want Eddie Murray on?
I would like to have Eddie Murray on the show. He seems like a fascinating guy.
I heard a few interviews with him after, and he was great. That's why you can't judge just based on, he doesn't talk to the media that often. He doesn't talk to the local beat writers. Yeah. And like you said, he had his reasons for why there was a lack of trust with the
local what's interesting?
Writers.
Like, I'm looking at this list from, 2003. Mm-hmm. And there's names on the list that, based on whenever it is that you grew up and maybe fell in love with baseball as a kid, for most of us, right? How you view a certain player. Like, I'm looking at the list right here, and I'm saying to myself, just as a fan, I don't want to discuss stats, just as my memory of the player and how big the guy was in my eyes as a kid. And I'm saying to myself, how did Steve Garvey only get 27% of the vote? Wasn't he, like, the greatest National League first baseman ever?
How do you want me to respond to that?
I know you're going to say no.
No, I'm going to say no. Well, I'm also going to say
that. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I was too young to remember him as an active player. So all I know about Steve Garvey is what I've learned about
him. Sure.
And he's not the greatest first baseman in the history of the National League.
Like, Alan Trammell only got 14% of the vote. Don Mattingly only got 13% of the vote.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you people? Because I remember things, based on how old you were.
Alan got in, by the way.
And how you idolized certain guys and looked up to certain guys, in your life.
Alan got in a couple years ago.
So it shows
Veterans Committee.
Right, so that's what Curt Schilling wants. Alan Trammell in this particular year had 70 votes, 14%. And I'm sure he was very disappointed. So the Veterans Committee years later said, we're going to write what we perceive as a wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That Whitaker-Trammell, you know, double play combination was as good as anyone in the history of the sport. Like Tinkers to Evers
look
to Chance.
At this. You know what team they played for?
Tinkers to Evers to Chance?
Yeah.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I'm just that curious.
Right. So we're on the same page.
It's okay. You don't have to say
no,
it.
No, I remember.
What team?
Okay, remember when, remember Whitaker? Sweet Lou Whitaker?
Yes.
And Alan Trammell, they played for the Detroit Tigers.
What team did Tinkers to Evers to Chance play?
Chicago.
There you go. Good
You're
for
welcome.
You.
I knew you knew. I know my
if
stuff.
If you knew Tinkers to Evers to Chance, I figured you knew that.
The only thing I don't know is the Rule 5 draft.
Exactly.
And according to bougie, egotistical Hall of Fame voters, that precludes me from having an opinion on anything baseball related. Okay.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.